Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Morning, good morning. On the other side, March 8th. Still here. Keith McPherson on the Fan. Watching sports, talking sports. Going through the sports news and topics and conversations as we're in the second week of March. We're getting closer to March Madness. Selection Sunday is this Sunday. Daylight Savings Time is this weekend into Sunday. Opening day is just a few weeks away now. Yeah, we're rolling right along. It's the most wonderful time. I know I sing that. I don't ever sing that for Christmas. I sing that for the October, November time where we get postseason baseball, hockey starts, basketball starts, football starting to get into the thick of things. Well, here comes another sports equinox. The NFL is over, but the NFL is never over. And the NBA is going to heat up as we get closer to figuring out the standings and the seeding for the playoffs. Can't wait to see the NHL playoffs this year. Come on, Devils. I have a rooting interest this year. Ben is in Randolph, New Jersey on the Fan. What's up, Ben?
Keith, good morning. How are you doing? Thanks for having me on.
I'm good, bro. Thanks for checking in.
So, yeah, I got to talk about our Devils. I'm very glad to see that you jumped on the wagon this year. Obviously, they're having a great season after the past few years, which have been brutal. But I got to say to you, I'm getting a little worried about Vitek Vanacek and the defense.
Yeah.
5 goals against the Avalanche, 4 against Vegas, 4 against Arizona, or 3 or 4 against Arizona, I'm not sure. And then 4 tonight, especially, you can't give up leads in the third period. They almost choked that game in Arizona, and then they choked the game today. Come playoff time, Vitek and that defense needs to be strong, especially against a team like the Rangers. So I'm getting a little worried, but I just wanted to hear your thoughts on them. I'm still confident that they can beat the Rangers, probably in 7 games, but the Devils really need Vitek Vanacek to be that guy who he was.
It's just him, right? Mackenzie Blackwood is hurt, and it's really just him. It's like, at this point, the deadline is passed. And I know some people were thinking maybe they get another goalie. And when you go into the playoffs, you need somebody that can really hold it down, that can change a whole series, that can change a whole game. So if the Devils do expect to make a run, we understand how big this guy's got to come up, how big he's got to play. There's a lot on him. And, when you see a game like tonight, that's the type of game that you're going to get in the playoffs. So a lot of pressure on him, but he's got to rise to the occasion. I'm trying to find out. I mean, not that I think Mackenzie Blackwood is much of a difference maker, but I'm trying to find out how long he's out, trying to find an injury update on
him. Yeah, he's always injured. And the thing with him, he's not a difference maker, but it's going to allow Vitek to not play as many games. And Akira Schmid is a solid backup where we saw him last year. I'm not sure how many games you watched last year. He's not really a true NHL goalie like Mackenzie Blackwood is.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's like once you get into the playoffs, are we expecting to see Schmid?
No, I hope not. That means that they're getting crushed.
Yeah, so I guess there's a little worry. I guess there's a little, bit of a thought that, hey, man, if the Devils are going to make a run through the playoffs, this isn't good enough. But, guys rise to the occasion. Other guys got to play defense. Other guys got to score. And I think, obviously, they're still gelling with Timo. And, I still have faith in the Devils to make some noise in this run. But there's good teams out there, man, and better goalies. So we'll see how it shakes out. There's still time for them to improve and for Blackwood to get healthy. But that concern I've heard, you know, as I'm talking to people that are Devils fans and as I've been watching and, you know, following different accounts on Twitter, it's a high concern. It might be the number one concern right now with Devils fans.
Yeah, and also that second line with Timo Meier, Bratt, and Hughes. It's obviously explosive. They're probably going to be the best line on the ice when they're out there. But defensively, the first two games that they've been together has not been good. It's going to take time. But as I said before, I remain confident. It's just, you know, when it's the third straight Vitek Vanecek bad game, that's when my worry starts to rise a little bit.
Yeah, he's got to shake it off. It's one tough game. It's a game that I thought we were going to steal, but the Maple Leafs historically are always good. They're good again this year. What are they, 39-17, right behind the Bruins? Like, they're no slouch. They came in and they had some energy tonight. They were swagging tonight. I think they really embraced the fact that it was Timo time and all the fans were jacked up because it was Timo's home debut. They came to play hockey tonight and they stole one. I was dejected with 3 minutes left. I think it was 2:53 left in the third period, and I just was like, yeah, I don't see them. I mean, I hoped that they could steal the game because we've seen the Devils come back and steal the game late. That was their MO for a while, but I felt like they were cooked after that one tonight, and they were.
And the Leafs had no John Tavares. He was sick, and they just put Ryan O'Reilly on the long-term injured reserve, so that was a big-time win for them. The Eastern Conference is absolutely stacked.
Yeah, the Bruins, I think the Rangers will get right. I don't know, man. I'm looking forward to getting there, and whatever happens, happens. Whatever happens, you know, can happen. I think the Devils will be fine. But, yeah, like you said, we all are looking at the goalie situation with Vitek Vanecek and Mackenzie Blackwood being hurt and even Schmidt as, like, the third option. Like, it's, you know, if that's the weakness, if that's the Achilles heel, like, something's got to get better with those guys, or they don't really have a chance to make a run without a strong goalie.
Yep. So thanks for having me on. I truly appreciate it, and I hope to see you at a game soon.
Yeah, I got to get back. Thanks for the call, Ben. Not sure when I'm going to get back. I want it to go potentially this Sunday. Not going to be able to go Sunday. And I do want to go on opening day, March 30th, because it's Devils-Rangers. And a few of the homies have been hitting me like, yo, you're going to go to Devils-Rangers after opening day? I'm like, I'll probably be on air at WFAN that night. I'll probably have a five-hour show after opening day. But that would be a hell of a sports day, right? Go to Yankee Stadium opening day, like 11 to 5, and then drive to Newark Prudential Center for Rangers-Devils. I don't know. It could happen. Rangers back on the ice facing off against the Canadiens tomorrow. And they need a win. They need a pick-me-up win there. 877-337-6666. What else from my notes do we not hit on? We talked about the Daniel Jones deal. I think it's a good deal. And when you look at how they structured it, you know, it's a win. I just think it's a win for both parties, both sides. And the negotiations have been going on for weeks, and they got to the, you know, deadline and actually had the deal done. And like I said, I feel like Giants fans should feel like that's a win. It is what it is. I don't think you overpaid for your own. That's your guy. Tiki Barber always says, nobody loves you like your mama loves you. They drafted him. They developed him. Actually, they drafted him, and they tried to ruin him by having different head coaches, different offensive coordinators, and this guy fought through it. He's a tough kid. He's an athletic kid, and he's 25. He's going to still mature and grow as a player in the league. He just had his first taste of being a winning quarterback, a playoff quarterback. That stuff is going to stick with him. He's going to want to get back there. And it's not going to be as easy to sneak up on teams next year, right? You know, next year everyone's looking at the coach of the year and these guys, and they're going to get their best shot. So now it's on the Giants to get some better talent on that roster. Now it's on the Giants to not go into next season without weapons for Daniel Jones. You got your quarterback of the now and the near future. You can get out of that after 2 years if he's not the guy, but I think he is. And we'll see what happens with Saquon. I think Saquon will revisit that $12 million number. Maybe if they put an extra year on it, who knows? That $10.1 million is just the state of the league. We're at a point in this league where, you know, they're not paying running backs top dollar. The days of Christian McCaffrey, Alvin Kamara, Ezekiel Elliott, those contracts, they're not handing those out anymore. And these owners also don't want to hand out this guaranteed money to the quarterbacks anymore. And that's why Lamar Jackson is in his situation. I thought it was super odd today how many teams were hearing, oh, they're not pursuing, they're not pursuing. It was almost like these NFL owners hit the group chat to say, hey, Lamar Jackson, they tagged him. But listen, nobody say you're going after him. And like I already reminded you, what they say and what they do are two different things. But with Lamar Jackson now, the Ravens basically said, hey, bro, we'll put this tag on you. And it's the non-exclusive tag. $32.4 million is what you'll make here. And, you know, if you go out there and somebody else is interested in you, let's see what they're willing to give you. And maybe we'll match it. Maybe we won't. Let's see who's crazy enough to give you the $200 million in guaranteed money that you're looking for. And maybe we'll match it. Maybe we won't. And, yeah, that's how this is setting up. It permits Jackson to negotiate with other teams if he finds a deal to his liking, something that obviously hasn't materialized in Baltimore. Jackson can sign an offer sheet that sets his market. Were that to happen, the Ravens would have 5 days to match the offer in order to retain the 2019 league MVP, or they receive 2 first-round picks as compensation for declining. So that's why I say the Jets, if they miss out on Aaron Rodgers, the New Jersey Jets should go get Lamar Jackson. And I put out a tweet. I think I retweeted it on my Twitter, at Keith McPherson, if you waste time on Twitter like most of us do. I can't say most of us. There's a bunch of people listening to the radio that are smart. They never go on Twitter. They don't log on Twitter. I was talking to my wife about that. I'm like, the radio is cool because I think I only really existed on like Twitter and Instagram and YouTube. And now I've connected with so many fans and listeners and people that they don't go on Twitter. And Twitter is toxic. It's negative. And like I said before, everybody's verified. Everybody wants to be first. Everybody's trying to break news. But I retweeted a tweet from January 16th. I said, if the Lamar Jackson situation is beyond repair, get that man to the New Jersey Jets. I need that number 8 jersey. My son's name is Jackson. So I'll get a jersey for me and Lil Jack. And we'll be at MetLife Stadium if they figure out a way to get Lamar Jackson if the Aaron Rodgers deal doesn't come through. But yeah, talking Knicks, talking Nets as well. Probably not so many calls from the Knicks fans. That's a game that you want to kind of just brush off as they'll head on, you know, to the road, and you don't really even want to waste time on it. You can't win them all. It was fun while it lasted. Good things come to an end and all that jazz, whatever. 9-game win streak ends, but those Brooklyn Nets, I know everybody wanted to bury the Nets. I know everybody wanted to say they're cooked, they're done, it's over. But it ain't over. I told you, see it through. I told you that they're going to figure it out. I mean, figuring it out is one thing. We're not expecting the Nets to make a run at the NBA championship, at the finals, at the Eastern Conference finals. But we are expecting them to have pride, and they've shown that. In the last 3 games, they beat the Celtics, roughed the Celtics up before the Knicks faced them. They beat the Hornets, knocked the Hornets down on Sunday, thought we roughed them up for the Knicks to, you know, be able to get that win without Brunson. And then they go on the road to Houston. They handle business tonight. Man, I'm pleased with what I've seen. Brian is in Milwaukee, Oregon on the Fan. Hello, Brian.
Hey, Keith, good morning for you. Of course, it's still evening for me, but that's another story.
All good. Good morning, good evening.
Absolutely beyond ecstatic. You know, and my big thing is, and this is why I love Jacques, and I'm going to get into that whole aspect of it, but everything is chemistry, right? And you're beginning to see the dividends pay, okay? Tonight, you look, Bridges still comes up huge, 30. Spence is spent. He gets 23. But look at Claxton. He's back up to 18. That's what I mean. You're looking at this, and you look at all these other contributors like Johnson the other night, for, you know, guys, goodness sakes. You're seeing this pattern, and I really like the pattern. And again, this also alludes to another theory. When you pull up an incredible miracle victory like that on the road, that can create an extreme firestorm.
Yeah.
So for once, I am really, really happy. This is everything I've dreamed And I think we're heading in the right direction.
You don't miss KD and Kyrie?
Well, I miss KD, but you know, and again, remember, I've been on a yo-yo, if I can explain that. You know, I didn't want him going anywhere, but, you know, I mean, we got what we could get, you know, in terms, especially if you look at the draft pick thing.
Yep.
That's the other aspect of it.
All but, things considered.
And I remember we sort of debated when Bridges came on board, you know, what's he going to do? And then, my goodness, look at this. But, you know, look at Cam Thomas earlier. That's why I'm saying. They're all contributing. I think we're going to be doing a lot better by the end of the season.
Yeah, I think that these guys have the pride that we've been looking for them to show. I think they are gelling now. They've had some practices together. It was tough, obviously, coming out of the All-Star break and losing the first four games, but now they've won the last three. And I'm interested to see what they do against the Milwaukee Bucks. I'm very interested to see how they challenge Giannis and those guys, because that's a mismatch, but that's the top team in the East. So it's going to be a little bit of a measuring stick for these guys as they have their defensive principles down, as they have their identities on offense. It's Spencer, it's Mikhail, and I'm hoping Cam Johnson steps up. It's good to see the guys on the bench get some points. And Nick Claxton, like you mentioned, maybe Nick was motivated because they did sign Nerlens Noel. He's not going to cut into Nick's playing time too much, but he had a beast game, 13 rebounds. The last couple games, he's had 12, 13 rebounds. Nick Claxton, people don't give him the respect that he deserves enough. Like, he's a solid player, and I think he had to shake off the fact that KD and Kyrie are gone, and now everything is reset, and I think Nets fans feel better about this group of guys, right? Because there's really, like, no expectations. There's no pressure. Whatever they do, we're going to be happy with. That's why we're excited with a three-game win streak. And a chance to go on the road and compete here. And like I said, when I came back from break, look at the standings. Look at the NBA standings. You know, we let Knicks fans celebrate. We let them have their nine-game run, and they beat the Nets twice in the last month. But the Nets are right there with them in the standings. So we'll see how this all shakes out the rest of the way.
Hey, yeah, and one more thing along those lines. You know, this morning I talked to Big Mac the other night. I said, I thought, after that Milwaukee debacle, you know, that Jacques challenged them. And I really still, to this point, ascribe to that theory, because I think he did.
The Milwaukee debacle? Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
well,
remember the game when we were up like 10 at the end of the first and wound up losing by 7, I believe?
Yeah, it was just, I wouldn't say it was a debacle, but I guess you could. It just was deflating because they were in that game, and then that third quarter sucked, and then it all kind of went away. Thanks for the call, Brian. Nets fans, call me up, man. It's wide open if you want to talk about your team. Still here. Still finding ways to win. Different guys in those jerseys, but they're back to the culture. They're back to the vibe. They're back to the Brooklyn grit. And there's a lot of people that wanted to leave them for dead. But if you listen to me, I don't even use this phrase. I said, the cupboard is not barren. I don't talk like that, but it makes sense, right? That's what everybody's saying. It is not the same as it was after the Paul Pierce, Kevin Garnett era when the team really was left for dead and they had to rebuild with nothing. They have talent. They have picks. The future is bright for your Brooklyn Nets. Jimmy is in Jersey City next up on the Fan. What's up, Jim? You're back.
What up, Keith? I tell you, never give up on the Nets. Just need some time.
I'm locked in.
Together.
I'm stuck. I'm not rooting for any other NBA teams. I love hoops. I love watching individual players, but team-wise, I'm always going to be rooting for the Nets.
I told you, man. They just need some time to gel together. They'll be all right. Like the guy just said, by the end of the season, they'll have plenty of games underneath themselves. You're seeing now 10 games that what the kids are doing from what's his name, the high scorer tonight?
Mikal Bridges.
Bridges. See what he's doing the last 10 games, right? What he's averaging. It just jumped in when he's starting to feel himself again. They'll be all right. Claxton, he's not that great against the bigger guys. Tonight just happened to be a good matchup for him. When he has good matches, he does well. Against Milwaukee, it's going to be tough for him. I mean, he'll have Noel to help him, but you're going up against Brook Lopez and you know, two bigger guys. That's where he has his troubles at.
Yep.
But we'll be all right. Keith, like I said, man, we're just a young team. Next year, hopefully we'll put some pieces together. So that Kenny Atkinson-type team right now. We'll be all right. Hey, Keith, I want to be the first one to freeze that Daniel Jones went from Danny Dimes to Danny Dollars real quick.
Oh, they've been on the Danny Dolez tip. They've been saying that for weeks. Danny Dolez, like, when he won that playoff game, they're like, he just made himself a lot of money. And today it's confirmed. $40 million man. And it doesn't matter what anybody says about Derek Carr's money or Geno Smith's money or Lamar Jackson. The Giants paid their guy to retain their guy. And I think they're going to be happy with that deal and contract.
Hey, like you said earlier, right? You know, the big diamond in the rough here could be the Miami Dolphins. If the owner wants to be, if he wants to win now, and he says, you know what, Chris Greer, go out and go get Aaron Rodgers. You know where Rodgers is going. He'll dump the Jets in a second.
I was alluding to it last night. Are they the mystery team? There's always a mystery team. It can't just be the Jets. It can't just be the Jets and no other options. The Dolphins play in the division with the Jets. If they can put their hat into the, like, why wouldn't they? They I know they like Tua. I know they, you know, we heard today Mike McDaniels thinks Tua is the best guy for his system, whatever. Yeah, but Tua, like, what happened to his season last season? You know, if Tua gets hurt, like, I think he's one concussion away from them saying, hey, you gotta hang it up, son.
And, you know, you got 53 guys in the locker room. You can't tell those guys, all right, if he gets hurt, you know, our season's going to go downhill again. They don't want to hear that. You know, they're putting the blood, sweat, and tears on the line. You got to have a confident guy that's consistent out there, can play every game. Even like Lamar Jackson, he's not out of the sweepstakes for us yet either. You know, like you said, you know, they're willing to take a couple of picks. The Dolphins can work around some first-round picks they don't have right now, but they can give them future things like that. But, I mean, Tua, you know, he's got to be healthy. I mean, you know I love Tua. He's got to be healthy for us to keep him. But if he's not healthy and the owner wants to make a move, you know, within the next week before the free agency starts, he'll make that move. But if not, you know, I'll be all right with Tua, Keith. Hey, listen, if Daniel Jones got $40 million, how much would Tua get?
I don't know.
Tua's numbers are way better than Daniel Jones.
I know. Tua was in the MVP conversation, but he's
just got to be healthy.
Yeah, it's just such a big if he's going to be healthy. He's not the biggest guy. Daniel Jones, you know, he's a bigger dude. He can take some hits. Tua, man, I fear for him. They throw him around like a rag doll, and he's, like I said, he's one bad helmet hit away from just having to not be able to play.
You're right. But, again, you know what, though? It would be good if the Jets do get Rodgers, because now the division will be really interesting with Allen, Tua, Rodgers, whatever New England
Mac
does.
Mac Jones.
It'll make the division a lot more competitive and make the games more fun. You like to see, I don't want to beat teams with crabby. I want my team to play a good game, like the Nets. I want us to play, like you said, we're going to play Milwaukee. Go in there. If we don't win, at least be competitive. You know,
they're going to compete with Milwaukee because they just played them tough in Brooklyn. So they're going to run it back, and I'm with you, bro. That Celtics game the other night, that was the most I yelled at the screen watching the Nets this year. It was exciting to see them fight and come back and actually win that game. That was the most entertaining game of the year.
Can you say you have a son?
My son is on the way. My wife is, I think, like 36 weeks pregnant.
Congratulations, bro.
Thank you. I've kept the secret for a long time. I announced it on Carton and Roberts last Monday, and I'm going to be stepping out when the Yankees start. You know, that's not great. The baseball season is starting. I'm going to go on paternity leave, but I'm super excited about bringing little man into the world. It's going to be fun.
So you're going to make little man a Yankee fan?
No, I'm not making him anything. Nope, I'm not putting that's like I always say, don't put that evil on me, Ricky Bobby. That's my plight. I chose my teams. He could choose whoever he wants to root for. I look forward to that. We'll break it down. I'll be like, listen, bro, you live in Jersey. Do you want to root for the Jets? You want to root for the Giants? They're right here.
Is that the name you're going with, Jackson?
Yeah, my wife named him. I don't even know how we came up with the name. She had the whole – I'm like, good. I'm cool with it. I like the whole –
That's a cool name,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, Jackson McPherson, son.
Awesome. Congratulations to you, brother. All right, Keith, go get on to your call, and I'll be listening to our show you during the week, bro.
Thanks for the call, Jimmy. Yeah, I'm not forcing my kid to be a fan of the Yankees, the Nets, the Cowboys. I did that, you know. But I understand what kids – and. You know, father-son relationship, you're going to look up to your dad. And if my son does want to rock with me, I'm just going to tell him, hey, be cautious, bro. Like, enter at your own risk. It ain't for everybody. You have a chance right now, son. You could be the opposite of me. You could be a Knicks fan. You could be a Giants fan. You could be,
You could be. I wasn't gonna say the last one.
Yeah, if he comes in and says I'm a Red Sox fan,
I was thinking Mets. I was like, we're not doing that.
Yeah, how are you reacting? Like,
no, I would honestly with Steve Cohen and what he's doing right now. If my son in let's say 5 years, let's say the Mets win a World Series in five years,
Red Sox.
Red Sox. There's no way. Like, I couldn't purchase a Red Sox any logo and have it in my crib.
Yeah,
like,
see, this is it.
My little cousin actually. Oh, it's my little cousin's birthday right now. He's 9, and when I used to babysit him, I remember when he was 4. He's like, "What's this? What's this? What's this?" And he's pointing to all the NY logos in my house. I'm like, "That's the logo for the most popular franchise. It's a worldwide.
It's
that's
the logo.
New York. Like
the logo.
That's the Yankees." And now he's a Yankees fan. He don't even watch baseball. But he's a Yankees fan because even young, he just remembers Keith. He's got all these Yankees hats and merchandise and logos in his house. So, yeah.
So you're not forcing your son to be a Yankee fan, but you're conditioning him.
Nah, and I told my wife he might be into gardening and pottery. And bro might want to play the piano and read books. And he does not have to be me. I'm the only person in my family that played sports, that was obsessed with sports. It was a TV thing. I'm a child of the 90s. I was 4 inches from the TV, staring at the TV. That's how I became the front runner of the teams that won in the 90s. Before I was a Nets fan, I was a Bulls fan. I didn't grow up with Pops. My dad is a Yankees, Knicks, Dolphins fan. So we have the Yankees in common. But man, I would have hated him for making me a Dolphins Knicks fan.
Yeah, I mean, you don't care if he's into pottery and gardening, all that stuff.
No,
but,
I will. Man, he'll have all of the tools to garden and make
pots. But if he's got 3 inches on you and a better vertical leap, you won't hate it either.
No, that too. And you know, my wife is like super pregnant now. And
if he's a 5-star recruit to Alabama, you're not going to be playing.
I mean, yeah, I'm like, man, if he is, we already are thinking he's going to be tall. And a big kid, I'm like, I literally just said today before I left, I'm like, what if he's taller than me? I'm good 6'2". Like, if he's 6'3", let's go. Let's go. Try and get that man a scholarship.
3 or 4 more inches in the vertical leap.
Yeah, I'll
quicker 40.
I will train him. I will train him from the beginning. I train myself. Like, I'm excited for the prospect of having a son because, like, I did not have someone to bring me along, and I was able to like figure it out on my own just off of like willpower and like this is like ultimate chip on my shoulder and motivation. My son's not gonna have that. He's gonna have the opposite of me. So I gotta like teach him certain things and bring him up, and we'll see. You know, I'll bring him into the studio and
so teach him not to be a Red Sox fan.
No, it's just I don't ever think we're going that way. He does already, I will say, and shout out to anyone listening that hit up my registry. Yankees Twitter, people showed love. Like, I posted the link because my wife was like, hey, you're going to post a registry on Twitter. And I really didn't tell anybody my wife was pregnant, just kind of out of fear of, like, complications and stuff. I posted the link on the same day that I, you know, let the world know on Carton Roberts. People cleared my registry, and there's already, like, Yankees baby things in my house. So he's going to see that logo, and I don't think he's going to go to that B logo, Dirty Water. Boston Red Sox. I just don't think that'll ever happen.
See how it dampened your mood, though?
Yeah, because I just like try, like it doesn't even
squirm.
Feel right
you're
to think about my
right
son being a Red Sox fan. I've never even been to Fenway because I can't go there. I've been to 15 ballparks. I haven't made the trip to Fenway.
It is nice.
I'll get there one day.
I did Yankees Reds, and I suffered the most torment last year on my birthday. I did Yankees Red Sox in Fenway, and the Red Sox walked it off. Which was brutal.
Was
to
that
watch.
The one where Jeter Downs came across
that,
home?
That was the Jeter Downs revenge game.
Oh
yes.
No!
Yeah, that was you know, Yankee fans in Fenway were chanting "Gallo sucks" with Gallo in the field for the Yankees. But yeah, I've seen it firsthand. It's a beautiful place. I mean, if I were you, like I'd advise going there. It's amazing.
I drove by on the bus my sophomore year at JMU when I played football at JMU. We played at Northeastern, which is, you know, there's all those schools up there.
Yeah, yeah.
Before Northeastern got rid of their football program, I remember being on the bus, and I'm with a bunch of football players that don't care about baseball. I'm the only one like, yo, look out the window. Yo, Fenway. Like, we don't care about that.
Did you do Wrigley?
Wrigley I've been to like 8 or 9 times.
Oh, really? Wow.
Yeah. Wrigley is different.
The old stadiums are, it's a different
cathedral.
Vibe in those places. Yeah, it's a cathedral, literally, yeah.
Have you been to Wrigley?
I've been to Wrigley and Fenway, yeah. They're both amazing.
Yeah, Wrigley I've been to a bunch because the homies, I have friends in Chicago.
I've been to 18 now, stadiums.
Impressive.
You got to do
and
it.
And now that they're changing the schedule where everyone plays everyone.
Yeah, that's why I love the new schedule.
You get to potentially go somewhere that you wouldn't go until every 3 years with, like, interleague.
Yeah, like, last year I did Yankees-Cardinals in St. Louis.
That's awesome. I thought about going last year and didn't make that trip. They got swept out there.
Those different stadiums, though, are it's awesome. Like, I can't wait to do Petco Park.
I haven't seen Petco. But it's ridiculous how it's built into the, like, buildings in the city. And
yeah, I want to go see Yankees in Colorado because I did a tour of Colorado last year, but I didn't actually go to a game there. But, like, you learn, like, these different intricate facts about these stadiums. Like, that's what's so romantic about baseball is there's all these different little intricacies about the ballparks where it's not the same cookie-cutter look. Everyone's got its own personality.
Not for nothing, bro. I've been telling people for years, Yankee Stadium isn't what you, like, people act like
Yankee Stadium sucks.
Yeah, Yankees. Like, I love the Yankees, but that is not a top 10 ballpark in Major
League
Baseball.
Yankee fans get tight with me. Like, Citi Field is 1,000 times nicer than Yankee Stadium.
I have said that already.
Citi Field's gorgeous.
It's a better ballpark, better food options.
Better experience, too. Yankee Stadium is so corporate.
Yeah. Overall, like, game watching. There's so many places you can watch the game from
Yankee Stadium's got the better vibe outside of the ballpark. Like, the pregame experience is better than Citi Field because I do there. But Yankee Stadium in general is just very mid when it comes to all the ballparks in Major League Baseball. I will say this. Coors Field, really cool. Are you a beer guy?
Of course. How can I not be a beer guy?
You like Blue Moon?
Yeah.
Blue Moon was invented in Coors Field.
Oh, I didn't know that.
They have a mini, one of...
I've been to Coors. I was at the All-Star game last year, Home Run Derby, or 2 years ago now, and then
the first base line in Coors Field, when they were building Coors Field, that was a warehouse for Coors beer. They actually kept the brewery... One of the buildings as a part of the ballpark. They built the ballpark around a brewery.
Oh, you went on the tour.
Yeah, so there's still an act. It's the only ballpark in Major League Baseball with an active brewery inside of it. And normally during the season, they make different concoctions. It's a Coors brewery where they make different concoctions during the games and all that kind of stuff, and they let fans try and some of that. And that's where the concoction for Blue Moon was invented. In Coors Field. I didn't know that. The one in Milwaukee's gorgeous, too. The Brewer
Stadium,
to
Miller Park.
Beautiful ballpark. Like, so that's the cool part about this new schedule is, like, we're going to have opportunities to go to all these different stadiums that you normally don't even see the Yankees ever. Years ago, you didn't see the Yankees ever go near these places. It was once every 8 years.
Chase Field in Arizona. Yankees, like,
stadium.
Never play there. I've been there, too.
Beautiful stadium. Awesome. Yeah, we could talk a lot about the great stadiums in baseball.
There's like, 15, maybe 20 better ballparks than Yankee Stadium.
I'm not going to lie. We should, like, actually do it. Debate, like, which ones are nicer and which ones aren't.
I have no
aren't.
Calls. We'll take a break here. We come back, and I'll talk through the ones I've been through. All right, before we break, did you go to the Jack Daniels, like, roof in Coors Field?
I did, yeah. I went up there, yeah. Amazing.
Super, like, I don't know. I was faded, so it was super, like, trippy being up there. And then you can see that line that's, like, I forget how high above sea level.
5480, I believe, 5420. It's a mile above sea level, exactly. It's incredible.
It's awesome.
It's such a cool state. The seats, there's a row of purple seats.
That's what I mean, that line of seats
it's
where it says
5280,
this.
I believe, is the marker of it.
When you think about that, you're like, damn, we're up here.
Fun fact, while the air is thinner because you're that high up above sea level, get drunker quicker.
Oh, that's what it was for me. I remember being in there, like, I could barely feel my legs. Like, I could fall up here.
Yeah. It's amazing. Dude.
I was there in the summer of 2017, and then I went back for Home Run Derby and All-Star, which was ridiculous.
Oh, awesome.
Juan Soto hit a bomb. Shohei put a ball in right field, somewhere where you're just not supposed to put baseballs.
That's legitimately why baseball is so great, is because there's a romance to it, right? Every different stadium has its own personality.
Mm-hmm.
There's so many different... Whereas... Even though football stadiums are all different, I could definitely say this about NBA and NHL arenas, they all kind of have the same vibe to them. They're all a little different.
And a lot of them lack personality, similar to MetLife Stadium, big air conditioner on Route 3. It's like, this is not a great stadium.
They're getting better with it over the years, but baseball's always had it. Every stadium is... What stadiums in baseball look the same? They all look completely different. And they've all got their own personalities, and they're all different places.
They have different field dimensions.
Yeah, which I love. People hate. I love that.
No, I love that.
I love that.
It's like unique to baseball.
Yeah, it's so great. The different stadiums around the league. Like Dodger Stadium's beautiful. The Angels in Anaheim is gorgeous, too. Oh, there's so many great stadiums.
Dodger Stadium, I love. I've been there a bunch of times. All right, so let's break, baseball fans. We're talking baseball now. If you've been to a ballpark, any ballpark outside of Citi Field, Yankee Stadium, if you have a cool story to share, I'll think of the places I've gone. Brian will think of the places he's gone, and we'll hit some of that when we come back from break. But obviously talking about the Knicks, the Nets, Aaron Rodgers, the Jets, Daniel Jones, Saquon Barkley, and the Giants. Keith McPherson on the Fan. I'll be right back. Time host taking you till 2 a.m. We are talking Nets, talking Knicks, and Aaron Rodgers, Daniel Jones, of course. And now we have sprinkled in a little bit of a theme for the next hour and 15 minutes or so. MLB ballparks. Which ones have you been to? Which ones are you trying to go to? With the new schedule, we will start to see some teams play in parks that we don't usually see. And, you know, with Interleague, it was every 3 years that the divisions would cross and play. Like, you know, the AL East last year played the NL Central. And, you know, a couple years back, I know, like, I went to Dodger Stadium to see the Yankees 2019, I think it was. And now we'll see a lot more of that. But I think that's one of the great things about baseball. When, you know, I don't really try and sell people on baseball anymore. I've kind of grown out of that. But when I was younger, you know, Brian was just talking about it. It's one of those things unique to baseball, like the ballparks. It's different than going to an NBA arena where, for the most part, you sit in a seat and the court is the same. And all these arenas do the same T-shirt toss and different games on the scoreboard. It's different than going to NFL stadiums, which have some character too, but I've been to a few NFL stadiums, and it's easy for them to be the same, especially when it's, you know, 53 and a third by 100 yards. And, you know, for hockey, I haven't been to too many of those arenas, but a lot of those arenas are the basketball arenas that get flipped for hockey. Baseball, ballparks, stadiums, they're unique, they're great, and I'm on a quest to go to all of them. I'll give you the list of places I've been. We've already got some people on the phone that want to share with us where they've been, but man, I just saw a great quote from Josh Hart. Now, Josh Hart told you when the Knicks were 5-0 in his time being here, hey, you know, we got the 6-0, enough with the undefeated in Josh Hart era, enough with the streak, like, we get it, we're all playing tough. Tonight, Josh Hart was asked about the fatigue factoring in to the loss late in the game against Charlotte, and his quote was, you got people getting up at 6 a.m. doing 12-hour shifts, those people are tired. For us, we're just playing a game. We got to keep that in perspective. Like, this guy, this guy has come to New York, and he gets it more than so many other athletes we've seen come here for every different sport, right? Right away, he's repping New York in the Knicks-Nets rivalry. He's screaming, this is our city. And he plays hard. He hustles. He gives you that grit that you want, restoring the feeling for some of the 90s Knicks. And answering that question right there about being tired, about fatigue, and not making an excuse, he actually takes the opportunity to highlight the people in this city that are getting up and working all day from 6 a.m. on, 12-hour shifts. Like, I just think Josh Hart is a guy that gets it. Shout out to him. Shout out to the Knicks. They'll be all right. Can't win them all. Let's go to my guy Dwight in Asbury Park on the Fan. What's up, Dwight?
Yeah, I'm surprised that your guy quickly didn't get no shine last night.
What do you mean, on air or okay,
game.
You're talking about
the
game because it's now the eighth. Well, you know, quickly shined against the Celtics. That was his night. He put on, and the world got to see him, right? Evan was talking about how he hates all his dance moves. I didn't mind it. I thought it was okay. It's hard to duplicate that. It's hard to you know, carry that into your home arena and do it again. Like I said, the Hornets were ready to go. That was a trap game. I think that the Knicks fell right into that trap. And let me see, what did IQ do? He didn't have the game that he had against the Celtics, but he didn't. I mean, 14 points, 5 assists. Different game, different game plan, different matchup. Can't expect him to duplicate what he did in TD Garden.
Hey, man, what do you think of Jones and his new contract?
I love it. I'm happy that they didn't franchise tag him. I love it for the guy. I said earlier, man, if we have guys like Deshaun Watson making all this money, if we have all these other guys that have committed crimes and do all this other crazy stuff and get paid, you know, why doesn't Daniel Jones deserve that money? Like, who gets paid? I hear people saying, oh, it's too much for a guy like this. He's not, like, No, the Giants paid their guy that they drafted, that they actually made a mistake and didn't pick up his fifth-year option, made him prove it, and not only did he prove it, he won a bunch of games, he won a playoff game, he's the captain of this team, the clear-cut leader of this team, and quarterbacks do not grow on trees. I think it's a good deal, and the cap hit is the most important thing. That $19 million cap hit for this year is not going to crush them versus $32 million that it could have been if they had to tag him. Both sides were able to meet, and I think the negotiations went well. I know, obviously, they started up there at 48, but I think that was just for Twitter and for chatter. And I knew Daniel Jones wasn't going to drive a hard bargain or, you know, hold out. He wants to be the quarterback of the Giants, and now he's got his payday.
Hey, you think Rodgers going to come to New York and get down with the Jets? I don't know about it. I think he's playing games,
but I think if he wants to play football games, it's the Jets. I think if he wants to play, if he doesn't want to retire, if the Packers don't want him back, which it seems like they're like, hey, come talk to him. And there's reports that they're fed up with his antics and stuff. If he wants to play, now we have the information. Now the Jets are in California. The owner, the head coach, coordinator, like now the pressure is on. I think by the end of this week, we will get some type of information, some type of sign of a yes or no. He said that he's open to the idea. So let's see what the Jets do to wine and dine him, to recruit him. Aaron Rodgers loves the attention. I'm sure he loves that they flew out to try and get him. And now that the Packers have kind of gotten over his antics, here come the Jets ready to bring him in. And at this point, they have to get it done. And if they don't get that done, they better go get Lamar Jackson or try.
Hey, everybody sleeping on New England. They better be ready for him because they actually got an offensive coordinator for that guy, that quarterback, Matt Jones. That's all they needed.
Bill O'Brien? Yeah, we'll see what Bill O'Brien's got left. And Mac Jones, I'm not sold on. I don't think anybody should be worried about them. Dwight, thanks for the call, bro. I'm not really looking at Mac Jones and Bill O'Brien. They're just in that division. You have Josh Allen and the Bills that are going to be looking for revenge. The Jets, if they get Aaron Rodgers, it's those two teams. We'll see what the Dolphins do. We've already talked about them tonight. If they throw their hat in the ring for Aaron Rodgers, or if they get Tom Brady to unretire. I look at the Patriots, as not much of a threat. Obviously, you can't count Bill Belichick out in that defense, but I don't think too many people are pointing at Bill O'Brien like, oh no, here we go. Now they got an offensive coordinator. Like that. Mac Jones was throwing fits on the sideline last year. Mac Jones might not even be that good. Anywho, now we can talk baseball a little bit. Let me think. I think I said I've been to 14, maybe 15 ballparks. Brian, get your list together. I'll get my list together. I always go to Twitter because I know I've tweeted it out. I got to search my name in like a random ballpark and try and come up with it. I mean, off the top of my head, I know the closest stadiums I haven't been to. Okay, here we go. I have been to Dodger Stadium, Chase Field, Coors Field, Target Field, Miller Park, Wrigley Field, Guaranteed Rate Field, PNC Park, Camden Yards, Citizens Bank Park, City Field, Lone Depot Park, Truist Park, Yankee Stadium. So I think that's 14. I think I'm missing one. Did I say Camden Yards? I don't know. I think I'm missing one.
Also known as Bronx South.
Yeah, we all know that because we've been taking over their spot for a minute. I got to get back down there, actually. I think I'm missing one, bro. Whatever. I've been
Chase
to...
Chase Field, you didn't say.
Okay, so Dodger Stadium, Chase Field. So where the Dodgers play, where the Diamondbacks play, where the Rockies play, where the Twins play, where the Brewers play, where the Cubs play, the White Sox, the Pirates, the Orioles, the Phillies, the Mets, Yankees, obviously, the Marlins, Tropicana Field. I've never been inside Tropicana Field. I've just been by it. That doesn't count. And I really don't care to go in there because it's a dump. And then Atlanta, where the Braves play. I think that's 14. I feel like my number is 15. I'm definitely forgetting somewhere. Either way, Brian, what's your list? Do you know your list off the top of your head?
I just brought up a list of the Major League Baseball teams by division so I could just read it that way.
Mm-hmm.
I've done Chicago White Sox. Very bland, very plain. Guardians I did, but I was very young. I've only driven past the Tiger Stadium, so I won't count that. Royals I haven't done, I want to do. Twins I haven't done. Camden Yards, yes. Fenway, yes. Yankee Stadium, obviously. I've done Tampa. Gross. Walking around the concourses, it feels
sucks.
Like it feels like an arena, dude. Like, it, oh, it's
trash
horrible.
A can of field. I can't bring myself. And I've been to spring training.
Uh-huh.
I don't want to take a tour, and I don't even care to go to a game down there. They have the, like, cowbell. They have, like, three mascots. I hate the Rays.
I told you this before. Like, I'm not a beach guy in the summertime.
Me either.
I turn purple. So my thing is, like, I just want to sit in the bleachers with a beer in my hand at Yankee Stadium. That's my enjoyable thing.
Yeah.
You can't even feel like it's summertime at Tropicana Field. Because if you don't see the outside,
it's like a
you're
circus
trapped.
Tent.
Yeah, it's awful. So it's the worst one I've been to, and it's not even close. And there's also no one there when you go. I mean, you go to Yankees Rays, you get inside for $25, if that. Toronto I've done. Excited to see the new renovations there this year. Have not done Minute Maid. I would like to see Minute Maid, even though the Astros are gross. Angels I have done. Beautiful. A's have not done. Mariners haven't done. I want to see the new Ranger Stadium. Haven't done that. I've done Wrigley. Have not done Cincinnati. Have done Milwaukee. I've done Pittsburgh. I've done St. Louis now. Atlanta I haven't done. Miami I've done. Mets I've done. Phillies I've done. I love Citizens Bank Park. And Nationals I've done. Diamondbacks I've done, Rockies I've done, Dodgers I've done, and Padres and Giants I have not done. Giants I really want to get to.
Yeah.
San Francisco looks like one of the more beautiful stadiums in the league. I would absolutely go to a Yankee game. I would want to do like a Yankee game out there, hit up San Francisco. I kind of want to see Oakland just because of how bad it is, if that makes sense.
It's a dump. That's why I want to see it.
I want to see how bad it actually is, if that makes sense.
Man, there's like rats. There was a story about like sewage and
the dugouts,
sewer
yeah.
water falling on the Yankees in the dugout.
It's amazing. That's a major league stadium. Now, I can't wait till they move to Vegas. I'll be out there once a year.
And
for
when the Rays move to actual Tampa and move out of St. Petersburg. All right, let's take some calls. We've got people calling in to share their favorite ballpark and where they've been. James is in Freeport, New York on the Fan. Hello, James.
Hello, Cam. How are you?
I'm good. Thanks for calling.
I like the way you bring young kids on this show. That's great, man. Appreciate it.
Yeah.
I'm 26, bro.
26.
So I said I like how you bring the young kids on the show.
Is he talking about me?
No. Brian thought you were talking about him. You're not talking about... Are you talking about my producer right now? You're talking about in general some of the young kids that call.
In general, the young kids.
He's not 20s. He took offense. He got offended off that. He's 26. He's growing up.
I've been to 24 ballparks.
Wow.
And you're right. Baseball is that... What makes baseball great is to go travel and see these ballparks.
Yeah.
San Francisco's on my list. The top five, San Francisco, PNC Park, Petco Park, which I forgot about until 2 seconds ago. Not a fan of the indoor stadiums. Houston, I didn't like. Oakland is a dump. Seattle, I didn't like. Arizona, I didn't like. But Busch Stadium was great. Pittsburgh was great. Camden Yards is awesome. And I got to get down to the old Rangers ballpark. I got to get to the new one.
Yeah, Globe Life.
My last stadium I've been to was Atlanta, when the Mets went down there and when we could have done something.
What stadium did you enjoy the food at most? Can you think of that?
The food? In Arlington. We had
everything's bigger
bacon
in Texas.
Dip and maple syrup, right.
And I bet it didn't cost as much as it cost at Yankee Stadium for a sandwich, a beer, or for the hot dog, a steak sandwich, chicken fingers.
When I went, they had $2 Tuesday hot dogs.
$2? Dodger dog is $12.
and not counting old stadiums, by the way. Like I was in Dodger Stadium. That's just iconic. You can't count that. Wrigley Field, you can't count. It's just iconic. You can't compare those to the new ballpark.
Yeah, they are, like, they're enchanting. You go in there and, like, thanks for the call, James. You go in there and you think about, like, for me, when I was younger, I used to play, and it wasn't even MLB The Show, but I used to play something on PlayStation. I can't remember what.
MLB Slugfest?
Maybe it was Slugfest, or like you could choose which ballparks you played in. You could do Home Run Derby and choose the ballparks. And I always used to love playing in Dodger Stadium and Wrigley, and then I grew up and got to go to both of those. I think I've been to both of them more than 6 or 7 times. I love Dodger Stadium.
There's a romance to it.
It's just like it's, you're in a movie, bro. You're like you're sitting there. I've been all over Dodger Stadium. I've been all over Wrigley. And
I will say the renovations they've done to Wrigley in the last 5 years
are great.
Tremendous.
Like they're great.
They've rebuilt the ballpark.
They used to have the bullpen on the field.
Yeah.
Now it's underground in the back somewhere. My boy Mike, I was in the fan cave with. He is the like social media host for them, like marquee in their like YouTube channel. Man, he gives all access to he's all over the field. I've been in their bleachers. Like, if you like Yankee Stadium bleachers, go to, like, a Saturday 1 o'clock Cubs game and go sit in the bleachers on the north side. you'll experience some interesting stuff. I love Wrigley. I enjoyed...
Have you sat on the rooftops at Wrigley?
No, across the street.
Yeah,
I've seen
those
them,
are
though.
Awesome. Those are awesome.
They're cool. And I mean, if you can't get a ticket to the game, they're cool.
They would charge people like $2,000 during the World Series to get up there.
Of course.
That's the thing about Wrigley, too, is it's in the middle of, it's like Fenway, it's in the middle of a neighborhood.
Yeah,
like, across
bro.
The street, there's people who live across the street from the stadium.
Wrigleyville.
Yeah, it's a town.
So,
so cool.
The first time I went to Chicago was fresh out of the fan cave because I'm put into the fan cave with a White Sox fan and a Cubs fan. And the whole summer, they're talking about New York sucks, Chicago's better, New York is dirty, your pizza sucks. So I'm like, all right.
Chicago's got dirty areas, too. I mean,
I know. Like, Chicago, like, the murder rate in
Chicago.
Don't
get me started
back
on the South
then.
Side, dude.
Yeah.
Dude, you go to the White Sox
through,
team?
Yeah.
Yeah, that's scary. Like
no,
you leave the parking lot outside the White Sox stadium,
yeah,
and
you're
that's.
Right next you're, to. I mean, and
danger
I.
Danger zone.
I tailgated out there. Like, I parked, and I'm like, this is not really. Whatever. So.
The parking lot's fine. You leave the gates of that parking lot, and you're in the danger zone.
Yeah, this is not really in the best location, and my boy lived in Flossmoor, so we drove through like the south side of Chicago to get to the suburbs where he lived. So I really got a full vantage point. I remember I took the red line. I just was in Chicago doing whatever, and this was a long time. This was like 9 years ago. I took the red line. I wanted to take the red line from Wrigley to Guaranteed Rate, and my boy hits me, and he's like, bro, you just riding the red line for fun? He's like, people get robbed on that train. He's like, what stop are you at? He's like, if you get any stops further, it's going to get reckless. And I'm like, bro, I've been on the train in New York everywhere. He's like, it's not New York, bro. He's like, somebody's going to check you, whatever. He's like, get off at this stop, and I'll meet you. I'm in my car, and then we'll go to the game because we were going to the White Sox game. I remember I saw Trout. I saw the Angels versus White Sox a while ago. We got a break. Here we are. It's already won. We got an hour left of my show, KM to 2 a.m. Marco's in here for the update. We're going to break it down. We're going to hit you with that, and we'll be right back.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.